Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 16th. I'm Abby Larico. In 2024, St. Louis police shot and killed a teenager who they claimed pointed a gun while fleeing officers. But video footage released this week appears to contradict the department's public statements.
Without any trepidation, I share with you that the video shows a young man, unarmed, running away from law enforcement, shot in the back of the head.
What the family's attorney says this video shows about the police department, coming up after this news on The Gateway. This week, a St. Louis police officer mistakenly called an immigration advocacy hotline while trying to reach out to ICE. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports that that number is used to help people find loved ones detained by federal immigration authorities and learn about their legal options. And advocates say this officer's misdial raises some red flags.
The Oshray Foundation in St. Louis runs the hotline for immigrant families. Leaders there say the police officer called to report that he had arrested someone. Mayor Kara Spencer has said police may call ICE in certain situations, but that the city is not working with the agency. Sarah Ruiz is the executive director of the foundation. She says the city isn't being clear about its ties to ICE.
Presenting the city as a place where immigrants are safe and where local law enforcement is not in any way participating in immigration enforcement is dishonest and it's misleading.
Police say their policy permits them to contact ICE for people without legal status when they are arrested on criminal charges. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Senate has passed its version of a proposed constitutional amendment that begins the process of eliminating the income tax. Senators voted 18 to 11 early this morning to pass the House resolution. Because they made changes to the legislation, it must go back to the House. If passed by voters, the resolution would give lawmakers the ability to modify or raise sales and use taxes to reduce and eventually eliminate the income tax. According to the resolution, the General Assembly would reduce the income tax by requiring reductions to the top rate of the individual income tax based on revenue growth. Once the income tax is eliminated, lawmakers would be prohibited from enacting or imposing any state individual income tax. The elimination of the income tax is a priority for Governor Mike Kehoe. A St. Louis judge is weighing whether the sheriff's department can intervene in a lawsuit over who gets to select the interim sheriff. STLPR's Chad Davis has details.
The state, city, and sheriff's department made their arguments during a hearing Wednesday. Sheriff's lawyers filed a motion to join the lawsuit, arguing that when another judge appointed interim sheriff and former police chief John Hayden Jr., it was a final decision. The city filed a lawsuit in December claiming the mayor has the authority to appoint the sheriff. The state argues the decision lies with Governor Mike Kehoe. State attorneys objected to the sheriff's motion, arguing they needed to provide a right to intervene. They also argued that there's a conflict of interest because the same lawyers are representing the sheriff's department and Montgomery, who is asking for a new trial. The judge will make a decision on a later date. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis County judge heard arguments yesterday afternoon in a legal dispute between the county executive and the county council. County Executive Sam Page sued the council over an ordinance that would strip Page of his power while he travels overseas and temporarily transfer it to Chairwoman Rita Hurd Days. Page is planning a trade mission to London later this month and called the ordinance unconstitutional. Days says the concern is overblown.
That's not my intention to do anything except to make sure that if something were to happen, we had an emergency or something like that, that, you know, I would be in the loop and be able to decide what needs to happen at that.
Page asked the judge in the hearing for a temporary restraining order. The judge has yet to make a decision. A Missouri judge has dismissed a lawsuit that challenged the state's private school voucher program. The Missouri National Education Association filed a lawsuit last year against the Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Program. The $50 million program provides private school tuition vouchers for students who have individual education plans or live in low-income households. The union claimed state lawmakers unlawfully funded the program by diverting taxpayer dollars away from public schools. The judge said the union could not prove the program harms the integrity of public schools. He also said ending the program would put families who already rely on the vouchers in an impossible situation. The union plans to appeal to the Missouri Supreme Court. Illinois is one of eight states that doesn't have some sort of restriction on cell phones in public schools, but legislation making its way through the state house this session could change that. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed has more.
A bill to limit the use of cell phones and other personal devices in public schools has failed in years past because of accessibility and enforcement concerns. But this year's bill has carve-outs for students with disabilities, medical conditions, or whose first language isn't English. It would be a bell-to-bell ban for elementary and middle school students, and high schoolers can still have access to their phones during lunch. Proponents of the bill say it would help students focus at school. Critics of the measure worry it will be another thing educators have to juggle alongside teaching. More than 42 states and Washington, D.C. now have policies that limit the use of cell phones in schools. If passed, the policy would go into effect in the 2027-2028 school year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Starting next year, many adults who receive benefits from Medicaid, the government-sponsored health coverage program for low-income and disabled people, will need to prove they're working or looking for a job. As STLPR Sarah Fenton reports, data shows that most of Missouri's eligible adult Medicaid recipients are already working.
Researchers at Washington University studied census data and found two-thirds of recipients 19 to 64 years old who would be held to the work requirement held full-time or part-time jobs. WashU professor Tim McBride is one of the paper's authors. He says the requirements entail a lot of work to reach a relatively small share of recipients.
It seems like a lot of staffing and a lot of dollars to be spent on 40,000 people, in my opinion. You know, it's putting the cart before the horse in a way.
Others cited disability, illness, caregiving, and retirement as reasons they didn't work. Only about 12% reported they were not working, quote, due to other reasons. The work requirement was included in last year's federal spending bill. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's officially that time of year for Canada geese to build their nests, lay their eggs, and defend their turf from us. Large geese populations tend to flock to suburban areas because they have access to a steady food source, including freshly cut grass. They have an abundance of ponds and a space to protect themselves from predators. Nancy Schnell is the founder of Geese Peace St. Louis.
When those geese who were restored started flying over our state and they flew across suburbs, they must have gone, "Lordy, Lordy, we have flown into goose heaven."
I love public radio. Schnell says if residents spot geese nests in high traffic areas, such as near local businesses, to contact the property manager to protect and rope off the area. Schnell made her comments on St. Louis on the Air. In 2024, St. Louis police shot and killed 17-year-old Amision Wilkins, who was running away from them after abandoning a stolen car. The department publicly claimed he pointed a gun at pursuing officers, but body camera footage released this week by an attorney representing Wilkins' family appears to contradict that initial account. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman sat down with attorney Albert Watkins to discuss the footage and its implications.
What does this camera footage show?
This footage, unequivocally, and without any ability to discount it due to flaws in audio or otherwise, reflects the murder of Amision Wilkins, a young man who had just turned 17 in 2024.
And how does this video contradict what was the official public narrative from the SLMPD in June of 2024?
Well, let's be really simple. The police department said that this was a justified shooting, that a gun had been pointed at law enforcement. In truth and in fact, without any trepidation, I share with you that the video shows a young man unarmed, who, by the way, has no criminal record, running away from law enforcement, shot in the back of the head.
Has the department, to your knowledge, ever publicly corrected that initial account? And why does that matter?
Well, we all know that law enforcement does not work without integrity. They've acknowledged it's incorrect. What they haven't said is he was unarmed.
How are Amisyan's parents feeling now that this video was out there and their belief in what happened or what didn't happen appears to be justified and backed up by this video?
I believe that in one certain very small respect, they feel vindicated, that their statements and assertions that the police story or version was false. But that is so small and minor compared to the ongoing pain and agony that they endure daily.
Do you think the officer who fired the shots actually believed Amisyan had a gun?
I can't speak for what he believed. I would find it reprehensibly offensive to my core if that shot occurred with anything other than a genuine, albeit remarkably displaced, belief that there was a gun in his hand. But what bothers me most about this, the flaws that were involved from the police with respect to this shooting occurred well before the shooting. This pursuit of a stolen car, a car that was identified as having been stolen days earlier, was contrary to policy. You don't engage in pursuit when there's not violence or a threat to the public.
There's a lawsuit pending in a case from 2025 that alleges a different officer shot and wounded an unarmed man who was also fleeing from police after crashing a stolen vehicle. Is this a symptom of a larger problem? And if so, what is that problem?
Well, the problem goes back to hiring. You've got to hire good people. You have to have good people training good people. You have to have good supervisory personnel from sergeants on up that maintain that discipline, that maintain that observance of protocols and special orders and procedures and a nonstop recognition that that mission can never be compromised.
That was attorney Al Watkins speaking with STLPR's Rachel Littman about newly released body cam footage that contradicts the SLMPD's account of a 2024 officer-involved shooting. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.